Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. If you want a Bible, just wave. We are reading from page 658. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
Okay, good morning everyone again. It's been a great weekend so far. Spurs lost yesterday. And Arsenal are going to win today. It's going to get better. Okay, we're going to continue our series on Isaiah and to us the Son is given. And we're looking at the start of his public ministry, Jesus' public ministry today. And I've added a little footnote to the title saying that the things the way they're supposed to be. And I wonder this morning when you think or hear of the word peace, what it is that you think of. What do we know of peace? What would it take for there to be peace in our world? What would it take for there to be peace in your life this morning? And the first thing I want us to grasp this morning, before we move on, is that the world we live in is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not actually the way it was designed to be by God. Because when God created the world and when God created human beings, they were as they were supposed to be. They were harmonious. They had there was harmonious relationships. There was no sin. There was no violence, no deceit, no corruption, no immorality. There were no marriage breakups. There was no hunger. There was no injustice, and so on and so on and so on. And the first human beings, Adam and Eve, lived in perfect harmony with each other. They lived in perfect harmony with the animal kingdom and the world order around them. And they enjoyed, in addition to that, they had the joy of enjoying a perfect, unbroken relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we're told when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they decided that they knew how to lead their lives better than the way God commanded they lead their lives. And they went their own way against God. And this opened the entrance for the curse of sin, condemnation, and judgment to enter God's perfect world. And the consequences were that the relationship with God and human beings was severed, and the world order was completely messed up and nowhere near what it was supposed to be or how it was originally created to be. And so the world and human beings, as we have them today, are not the way they were supposed to be. And the Hebrew word for how things should be is the word shalom. And the translation for that is peace. Peace. And Jewish people still greet one another like that when they see each other. Shalom, shalom, peace. What it means is, may things be with you the way they ought to be. May things be with you the way they're supposed to be. That's peace. What it means, imagine then a world where things are how they're supposed to be, how they ought to be, a world of shalom, a world of peace. What would that look like? Well, children, especially teenagers, like my young teenager to be, they would obey and respect their parents. Husbands and wives would be faithful to each other. People in public office would tell the truth. That'll be novel, wouldn't it? Dictatorships would cease to exist. Churches would be united in truth and love. There will be no crime, no corruption, no fear of violence. There will be no hunger. There will be no addictions. There will be no need for a military. Nuclear weapons would be done away with. There will be no need for a police force. Lawyers would not exist because there will be no lawsuits or criminals to persecute. They'll be made redundant. And when we think of what a perfect world, the world as it was supposed to be, would look like, the sad fact is that as we think of a world with shalom and what it would be like, the further we realize how far away we are from such a world. So what is peace? Well, peace is more than just the absence of war. Peace is more than just having our worries and our problems dealt with. Peace is the reordering of the whole world so that things become as they were supposed to be. And Isaiah says that the only hope of that ever happening lies in a child who will be born, and his name shall be Prince of Shalom, Prince of Peace. And this prince will bring in the right order of things. He will make things as they were supposed to be, the way they were originally designed to be. And I want us this morning to think of Jesus Christ as the Prince of that kind of peace. And I want to look at Jesus' life, and I want to look at the peace that Jesus had in his own life, the peace that he made possible for each one of us, and the peace that he longs to give to each one of us this morning. So very briefly, first of all, the peace. I want us to look at the peace that Jesus had. As we track the life and ministry, birth, life and ministry of Jesus, it's not long before we realize that his life was filled with great turmoil and great conflict. That turmoil began almost as soon as he was born, when there was an attempt on his life by King Herod to kill him. And then moving on, he survives that, and moving forward to the beginning of his ministry, we read how after his baptism, he goes into the wilderness. And there he enters into a huge conflict with the devil himself. And Satan throws everything at Jesus. And Jesus survives the enemy's temptations, and then he returns from the desert and he begins his ministry. And he goes off and he starts to heal. He heals a man with a withered hand. He heals a servant of a Roman leader. He raises a young girl from the dead. He heals the blind. He heals the deaf, and so on and so on. And all through the ministry of Jesus Christ, you see him confronting sickness and evil whenever it rears its ugly head. Why? Because that's not the way things are supposed to be. So he puts it right. And as we continue and move through the ministry of Christ, the story of his life then moves towards his arrest, and then the show trial, and the kangaroo court, that couldn't find anything to pin on him, so they manufactured something. And then the mocking and the unrestrained violence towards him. And then finally, his cruel, cruel execution. And then as he hangs on the cross, we're told that the earth is suddenly plunged into darkness, and there is chaos all around him as he hangs there, helpless. As people are screaming and running into each other in the midst of the darkness that has just come down. Jesus was surrounded by conflict in his life, and he was surrounded by utter chaos in his death. But here's the incredible thing in the midst of all of that. When there was conflict all around him, when there was chaos all around him, there remained an incredible peace within Jesus Christ himself. The shalom of God, the right order of things, reigned within his very soul. And here's the principle here. The principle is that your peace doesn't begin with everything being all right around us in our lives. Peace begins when everything is right within us. That's where peace begins, irrespective of what's going on around us. And so here we have Jesus, and nothing around him is as it's supposed to be. But inside of him, things are exactly as they're supposed to be. Peace, perfect peace, irrespective of the chaos and turmoil that surrounds his life. So Jesus has peace. That's the first point. Secondly, Jesus is the prince who makes peace possible for us. He not only has peace, he comes to make it possible for us. So what would it take to make peace for us? What would it take for shalom to enter the world? What would need to change? And Isaiah gives us three pictures of what shalom involves, and they're all taken from the animal kingdom. In verse 6, we have, Isaiah 11 continues to unpack this picture of what peace is about and how this peace is going to come from the Savior that is born to us. And Isaiah 11, which we haven't read today, tells us that it gives us these three pictures from the animal kingdom of what shalom involves. What it can be like. So we have these three in verse 6 of chapter 11. We read that the wolf lies down with the lamb, and the leopard lies down with the young goat, and the calf lies down with the lion. And you say, what? How can that be? How does that work? Wolves, leopards, lions are predators. It's their instinct to kill, not to lie down in harmony with their intended victims. And humans are also predators. That spills over into us. Where the human equivalent of being predators would be in old age hostilities between Jews and Arabs, Ireland Unionists and Republicans, Hutus and Tutsis, Greeks and Turks, Arsenal and Spurs fans. Come on, keep that up. Conflicts of years. Can we just, when we show the rest of them, is there any way we can just have that to the side when we show the other PowerPoints as well, so that's not removed? I'm going to slow down now so we can have that up for as long as possible. So we read of reconciliation, of old hostilities. The leopard lies down with the goat and the calf with the lion. No more aggression, no more fear. But instead, there is the shalom of Christ, we're told. And the predatory nature of these animals has been completely changed so that they may now live together in shalom, in peace. And that predatory instinct is in human beings as well. And you haven't got to look very far to see it, have you? You see it in the workplace. You see it in government. You see it in our businesses. You even see it in churches. You hear the phrase, it's dog eat dog out there, isn't it? Everybody out for themselves. But Isaiah says there is a child who will be born. There is a Savior who will come, and he will reconcile old hostilities, and he will change old natures. Christ is able to take that which is destructive within your nature and mine and destroy it. Christ comes to make peace. And he said, well, how is that possible? How can that be? Well, it's possible because of Christ's crucifixion, where on the cross he dealt with the oldest hostility known to humankind. The hostility between human beings and God himself. Because on the cross he made provision for our very nature to be changed. And on the cross he took our guilt and our condemnation and he bore it in his own body, the Bible tells us. And in doing so, he opened the way to peace for each one of us. That was the price that had to be paid so that peace could be made possible for us today. So the cross for us today then means this. It's the place where shalom can be discovered. It's the place where peace has been made possible. It's the place where old natures are changed and the curse of sin and condemnation has been removed. It's the place where old hostilities are dealt with and reconciliation with God is made possible. And you say, hang on a sec, Mike. I don't get this. If Christ is the one who brings peace to our world, why are we still seeing so much conflict everywhere? Where is the peace? Well, it's important for us to realize that Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9, verse 6, is not a prophecy of just one event, but it's a prophecy of two events that are rolled together. One is the birth of a child. The other is the reign and rule of a king. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. So the child has been born, the son has been given, but we do not yet see the government of God in its fullness, in truth and righteousness, in our world order. We see Jesus, but we don't yet see all things subject to him. So this Christmas, as we look back with celebration, as we always do, to the birth of the child, at the same time, we should be looking forward, which we don't always do. We should be looking forward also to that which is still ahead of us. The child has come, we celebrate that, and we look forward in great joy and anticipation and expectation of the coming and the reigning of the King. He has come into the world, but we do not yet see all things subject to him. His coming has meant that shalom is possible for us in our hearts, but it will not be until he comes in his glory that peace will encompass the whole order of creation. And when he does, not if, but when he does, things will once again be just as they were supposed to be. So Jesus has peace. Jesus has made peace possible through his death on the cross. And thirdly and finally, Jesus gives peace. He longs to give us peace. It's why he died, so that we may have shalom. John 14, verse 27, Jesus says to his disciples, "My peace I give to you." Jesus has peace, and that is why he's able to say that to his disciples. He has peace in himself, and that is why he's able to give it to you, to impart it to you. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 is a verse that I love, and I've made, I use it as a prayer, a personal prayer for myself regularly, and I use it for a prayer for others when I minister to them. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, and in every way, or in every situation." So Christ is the Lord of peace. That means Jesus has command over peace. That means peace goes wherever Jesus sends it. He's the Lord of it. So we see an example of this when a storm rises up in the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was in a boat with the disciples, and the disciples were panicking because they thought they were going to drown and the boat was going to sink and the whole lake was in turmoil. And Christ turns and says, confronts the storm, and he says, "Peace. Peace, be still." And as he speaks, he imparts peace to the lake. Christ is Lord over peace. Christ commands peace. Christ gives it. Christ sends it. He says to peace, even this morning, go and fill the heart of that person who has come here this morning in great turmoil. Go and fill the worried heart of that person who has come here this morning. To the one who has come confused, to the one who has come heartbroken, to the one who has come here discouraged. Go and fill the heart. He's the Lord of peace, and peace goes wherever he sends it. So this morning, Christ knows what you're worried about. Christ knows what you need. And this peace that we're talking about can be yours. Christ died to secure it, and Christ lives to bring it to you. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer to Thessalonians. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. I encourage you to look that up and use it as your own prayer regularly. It's something you can pray for yourselves. This is a prayer that you can pray for others. So what is this? What is the application of praying this sort of prayer look like in real life, Mike? Well, you start a new job and you're concerned as to how you're going to get on. Will anyone like me? Will I cope? Well, may God give you his peace. Or you're single and you wonder, will I ever marry? Does God have someone for me? Or maybe you are married and you're thinking, well, will we ever have children? Well, may God give you his peace. Or you're a young parent, you may be feeling the weight of responsibility for this tiny life that God has just trusted into your hands. Well, may God give you his peace. Or your child has started a new school and you're thinking, have I made the right choice? Will they fit in? Will they settle? Will they make friends? Will they cope? Well, may God give you his peace. Or there are special pressures at work for those who are now in midlife and you're no longer moving up the ladder. You've hit the ceiling and you're staying at the same level and it looks as though that's it for you. What else is there? Well, may God give you his peace. And then you hit your 60s and your 70s and you begin to notice changes in yourself and you become more concerned about your health. You didn't think about it much before, but now you're more concerned about it as little things begin to go wrong. Or you may reflect back on your life and you think, well, what have I accomplished? Did I get things right? What else? What else should I have done that I haven't done? Well, may God give you his peace if that's you this morning. And then you move on into your older years and doctors and hospital visits are a weekly occurrence, it seems. And there are aches and pains that just will not go away now. Well, may God give you his peace. Wherever you are, whatever you're up against, at all times, in every season, peace at all times, irrespective of what's going on around you. This is a wonderful lifelong prayer. Not only that you'll have peace, but that you'll have it at all times and in every situation. So as we draw to a conclusion this morning, I want to say, friends, categorically this morning, that our hope, our only hope, is in this Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Our only hope is in him. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I have to tell you that it won't be that everything will be as it ought to be around you. It doesn't mean when you become a Christian that everything in your life is going to be perfect. and that everything is going to, all the bad things are going to stop happening, and that bad things will never again happen to you, if that's what you've been told when you became a Christian, then you have been misled. It's like one of these PPI things where they sold you and they need to give you a refund. You've been misled, because that's not how it is, and that's not what Jesus promises. Things, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything will be as it ought to be around you. But what it does mean is that everything will be as it should be within you. That's what will change. Everything will be as it ought to be within you as you invite Christ into your life. You will have peace with God. You will be reconciled with God. A new nature will begin to be formed and shaped by God for you. And the old curse of condemnation will be lifted forever from you. Romans says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And not only will that peace be with you as you look back to the birth of the child and Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but also as you look forward with great anticipation to his second coming. This time, not as a helpless baby, but as a king who will rule and reign for all eternity. When he will bring the restoration of shalom in the new heaven and the new earth. And he will destroy evil and the misery that it brings forever. And the curse of sin and condemnation and judgment will be history forever, never to rear its ugly head again, as the right order of things is finally restored. And the work of changing your nature that begins in Jesus Christ right now when you become a Christian will be complete finally when Jesus himself, the Lord of peace, will present you to the Father as a trophy, pure, spotless, perfect, and holy, said, "Here he is. Here she is. This is what I've accomplished. This is what my death has accomplished. This is what it was all about. Here they are, Father." And you will be with God, and you will see God, and God will be with his people, and his people will be with him. And the old order of things will be no more. They'll be gone. And God will wipe away every tear from your eyes, because there'll be no sickness, no pain, no disability, no conflict, no addictions. And not only will you see and be with God, but the Bible says you will be just like him. Isn't that incredible? You will be just like Jesus Christ. You will reflect him in all his righteousness and perfection. It'll be like looking in the mirror for Jesus. That's what you will reflect. And you will have shalom for all eternity. Why will you have that? Well, because that's the way things are supposed to be. That is how God originally created it to be for you and for this world order. And that is how it's going to be when he comes again to rule and reign in righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's great. I just want to pray now on two prayers. And then I'm going to invite Henry to come up. Can we invite the band to come up as well, please? Whenever I speak, whether it's Oakley or here or anywhere, if there's people I don't know, and there's many, many people here in the congregation that I don't know this morning, I always like to give the opportunity for people to come and receive Jesus Christ, to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning there may be some folk here, and you've not yet come to that place where you have given your life to Jesus Christ. You may know about God, but you don't actually know him personally. You may have come to church for weeks, months, or years perhaps, but you still haven't come to that point where you've embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour of your life. Maybe you've even come as a child and you still are not at that point. Or maybe you've just recently been coming and you're exploring and examining what this Christianity, what this Jesus is all about. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can receive the peace that Jesus made possible by his death on the cross. And I'd love us to give us an opportunity this morning, because the Bible says that whenever his word is spoken, it never returns to him empty. Something always happens. Always when the word of God goes out. And if I didn't believe that, I just really wouldn't bother preaching. I just wouldn't bother. What would be the point of it? So I want us to pray on two counts this morning. First, I want to give anybody here this morning the opportunity, if you haven't already done so, to receive Jesus Christ and the peace that he made possible into your life this morning. And I'd love to pray for you to do that. And if you'd like me to do that, if you just indicate by just raising your hand so I can see you, and then I will pray for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. I'm just going to wait a bit longer before I go into the next thing to pray for. Sometimes it's not easy. But if the Lord has spoken to you in that area this morning, then I would urge you to respond. Okay, there's somebody over there. Thank you. Can't see it, but it's been indicated. Okay. Okay, to that persons who's raised your hand, I just want to pray this prayer. And if you just repeat it after me in your heart, there's no magic in the words. It's the sincerity of your heart that the Lord is looking at. Don't worry too much about your understanding of what you're saying. It's the heart that counts at this point. So just repeat this prayer after me in your heart. Jesus Christ, I come before you as a sinner in need of forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. And in doing so, have released forgiveness and enabled peace to be released as well. I ask that you'll forgive me now for all my wrongdoing. And I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life as I receive you as my Lord and my Saviour. Amen. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and speak, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. What's happened now, whether you're, irrespective of how you feel, there's been a great exchange whereby your sins and wrongdoing have been taken from you and placed on Jesus Christ, and Jesus' Christ's robes of righteousness and perfection have been transferred onto you. And that is how God looks upon you right now. You may not look upon yourself like that, but that is exactly what has happened. Your status has changed. You're a child of God, and that's how God looks at you, as he looks in the same way as he looks as his son, Jesus Christ. I want to pray now, and one more prayer, and then I'm going to hand over to Henry for some words. If this morning you want to receive this peace that we have been speaking about, that is on offer, you're here this morning and you have your concerns, you're troubled, maybe you're confused, maybe you're frustrated, maybe you're even angry with God, maybe there's chaos and turmoil and uncertainty in your life, and you need the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that he offers, to come and enter your heart and your life this morning. If that's you, then I want to pray this wonderful prayer from 2 Thessalonians over you and claim it for you this morning, for the peace of God to rule and reign in your heart, irrespective of your life circumstances. If that's you and you'd like me to pray for you right now, this is a safe place to do that. Can I invite you just to stand so I can pray for you right now? Father, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that in obedience to you, he came to make things the way they were supposed to be. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ's incredible sacrifice on the cross that enabled peace to be made possible. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we honor you this morning that when you died, you made this great exchange possible for each one of us, that we are forgiven and saved and can enter back into that right relationship with you that you originally intended us to have and created us to have. And we thank you for your great sacrifice that made that possible. But Lord, we confess to you that despite that, we still have to live in a fallen world, and that we have allowed the things of this fallen world to encroach and impact our daily living. And there is chaos, and there is turmoil, and there is confusion, and there is pain and anguish, and there is frustration and anger in and around our lives this morning as we come before you. And Father, we ask now that you will send the peace of Jesus Christ to come and rule and reign in our hearts, so that even though things in our lives aren't what they are supposed to be, that things within us will be exactly as they ought to be. And so, Lord, I claim now your word and your prayer, and I speak it over each one of you this morning. May the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Receive the peace of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Prince of Peace, right now. Just receive it and breathe it in.